The words of God given to us today are Isaiah chapter 56, verses from 1st to 8. Please allow me to read the words. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people," and let no eunuch complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servant, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Amen. Right now, the Yellow Vest Movement is going on in France. This movement is an anti-government protest gaining more than 80% support from the people of France. It began by the announcement of the French President Macron in this past November to raise fuel taxes. This movement was named after the yellow safety vests worn by the drivers who held demonstration against the increase of fuel taxes. The fuel tax raise was not the only reason that caused the movement. High unemployment rate, low economic growth, and related amendment of labor law, which was potentially unfavorable to workers as well as falling income of low-income class. As France traditionally allocates high budgets on costs of social safety net and welfare, the government placed more burden on low-income and working classes while giving tax benefits to high-income earners. After all, the Yellow Vest Movement is a movement to recover the fallen justice in France. What would be the justice that people claim to recover through this movement? It is not easy to define justice. It was until the 17th or 18th century that people thought there is an absolute meaning of justice. After the era of enlightenment, justice began to be believed relative. Some say it is meaningless to define justice. And it's even impossible to find justice which every individual could accept. Therefore, when it comes to justice, it is helpful in understanding justice to accept the limited boundary of justice and talk about it within the specific boundary. The recovery of justice in the Yellow Vest movement in France is the recovery of distributive justice. Demonstrators believe that the government failed in redistributing income in a righteous and fair way. And they think neither distributive nor procedural justice was set up. They believe procedural justice was lacking here because the government was negligent to communicate with the people when deducting or imposing tax on a certain group. Moreover, they argue that the government should be given punitive justice for it, refused distributive justice and procedural justice. However, we still need to think about the behavior of demonstrators that even if they intended to recover and keep distributive, procedural, and punitive justice, some, if not all, did injustice of theft and destruction. When talking of justice today, we say justice to protect the basic rights of individuals from a standpoint as far as fair as possible, overcoming biased views or ethics. It is ironic and a wrong way to execute punitive justice for them, to claim justice should be recovered, and at the same time to go on a looting and destructing to those who are unrelated with their infringed basic rights. But those who argue to recover justice should examine whether or not they are unjust. There are unexpectedly many cases where people claim about justice because of their grievance about their disadvantage. In contrast, people sometimes are not interested in others' damaged rights as long as they are not affected, while going blind when others suffer injustice, unlike when they do. Then the justice that they say is nothing but extremely selfish justice within the limited boundary. This is why justice today is believed relative instead of something absolute, and it is impossible to find justice which is unanimously agreed. The Yellow Vest movement is a movement of justice recovery fueled by the government, which pressured low-income, working, and weak classes. We often see any country that a strong, privileged people ignore underprivileged class and the weak while depriving them of what they surely deserve. How about our society these days? Corruption in school, employment, beating, defense industry, politics, and many more. If basic rights, which every individual is surely guaranteed, is deprived of or damaged, there's no justice. Many are concerned about fallen justice in the judicial, taxation, economic area, as well as in the society. The ancient philosopher Aristotle defined justice that a person receives a proper share that he or she deserves. If a society guarantees a share or basic rights that an individual deserves, such a society can be that of justice. But depending on types of share, the rights can either be protected or not at all. No matter how justice can be defined, it must be relative and limited. Even if justice can become absolute, there will be victims still remaining whose basic rights are unprotected and damaged if people go blind against justice. What we should not forget is that it is not only those who are politically and economically powerful. It could be those who are just ordinary. Justice cannot be kept if those who have the upper hand in a relative manner perpetrate injustice to the weaker. Unless we treat others better than ourselves, justice can hardly be restored. In order to treat others better than ourselves, we should heed the words of God in our mind. In verse 1 of today's scripture, God says, "This is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed." God said through Isaiah the prophet about 2,700 years ago, maintain justice and do what is right. To whom did God intend? Israelites at the time? Those from the neighboring powerful countries who harshly treated Israelites, or those powerful politicians such as the king of South Judah? It is those who do not maintain and act justice. Those who are unjust are not only those powerful people in South Judah 2,700 years ago, or those powerful officials who fuel the Yellow Vest movement in France today. Neither are those Koreans who are politically and economically powerful. Those who are unjust are those who have more power than the weaker in a relative way and harass them. Whoever can be included. The reason that God told those who are unjust to maintain justice and do what is right is that God's salvation is near and the righteousness will come. When there's salvation and righteousness of God, victims will recover, while the unrighteous will be judged. Justice described in verse 1 is respectively tzedek and mishpat in Greek. And tzedek is also understood as a basic definition and mishpat amended definition. Mishpat is often translated as law in the new translation of the Bible. Tzedek and mishpat were used about 500 times in the Old Testament, including verbs and derived nouns. It is not easy to simply distinguish the two words, although it is allowable to understand the two words as a combined meaning of justice. We need to consider that the definition of justice of God and justice of us. God's justice is neither selfish nor relative. There's no limit. God's justice does not change, even if the time and place changes. God's justice is righteousness to tell from the worldly justice. God's justice does not change depending on ideology or standard of value. It is absolute and perfect. Therefore, we should maintain God's justice and live in a righteous way, keeping in mind that salvation of God is near and the time of God's judgment will come soon. Then what are those which people cannot keep when God says maintain justice and do what is right? In other words, what is justice that people should maintain and practice? It is in verse 2. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Two things to maintain justice of God are keeping the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeping hands from any evil. Those who keep and practice the law set by God are those who live on the words of God. The law set by God, Mishpat, contains keeping the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Sundays today, on which we get out of secular views and system and make sure that we are under the control of God. We accept Jehovah as our God and worship on Sundays. Those who keep Sundays as such can maintain holiness by constantly recognizing that they should be separate from the world and living a life separate from the world. This is to keep the Sabbath so as to stay away from being corrupt. They don't act evil because they live a life separate from the world. Unless we become bound to the institutions of the world full of secular views, we don't act anything selfish, greedy, and evil. God tells us that such a person will be blessed. There's this phrase repeating in verse 2, the one who does this and the person who holds it fast. In Greek version of the Bible, blessed is comes the first in verse 2. If part of verse 2 is translated in the order of the Greek version, blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast. This means that the one who holds fast and practices justice and the law of God, the words of God, is blessed. Justice of God is not made based on the standard of values of certain individual or group. It is righteousness. Do you claim to keep justice? You need to deeply think about if such justice is made based on your standard or such a selfish, relative, and limited justice which is being called out in this society. Justice of God is complete and absolute. It is righteousness which transcends the time and ideology. Then how could this be recovered? To define true justice, the righteous word of God is needed. The definition of justice should be based on and stick to the Bible. If not, it is not God's justice. When God said through Isaiah the prophet 2,700 years ago, justice wasn't kept in Israel. There were two groups who were isolated and damaged by the selfish, relative, and limited justice. In verse 3, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Who is the foreigner who is bound to the Lord? The foreigner lived in the land of Israel. God and foreigner are the combination that could antagonize Israelites who enjoyed advantages in the era of Old Testament. Foreigners tend to be considered as those who don't know God, or sinners, or those who are evil. Today as well, people tend to have bias against refugees or foreigners from low-income countries. But we should be careful. It is not right to ignore refugees or foreigners unless they committed sins or repeatedly did something dangerous. Although the Jews had bias and rejected foreigners, there's no bias in the Bible verses about foreigners. God loves foreigners as much as Israelites. When Israelites escaped Egypt, putting an end to the slavery, God imposed the 10 disaster of the death of Pharaoh's sons. God gave salvation to those who put the blood of lamb on the doorposts. The Lord allowed foreigners to take part in the Passover, but only for those who were circumcised or those who received sign of salvation. The reason that the Bible warns to be cautious about foreigners is not only because their nationality is different, but because of our sinful nature that are under the control of corrupt culture and values. Such foreigners could worship idols and commit ethical sins, so the Bible warns against. Therefore, we should not hate foreigners based on their different nationality. God loves them who are just like Israel and us. God only hates those who commit sins and evil. Foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord is an expression showing that God gives an equal grace to every individual. God says that those foreigners who live in the land of Israel and received and believe in God don't have to worry. God never discriminates foreigners from salvation based on the color of skin and nationality. It's not easy to live in a foreign land. It would be even more so for refugees who suffer political oppression or war in their homeland. We could understand that by seeing the multicultural families who have difficulties in living in Korea. The second group is those who had physical problem. The Lord says, any eunuch complains, I am only a dry tree. Eunuch includes those who are infertile. Regardless of time, it is a tremendous concern and pain if you can't have a child when you badly want. There are many people these days who have difficulty in having children, even though they want. Please don't get depressed, because God says you don't have to blame yourself. Foreigner or eunuch is a collective name for those who were neglected by the main players of the society at the time. God gave them a message of hope. First, for the eunuchs in verse 4 and 5, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. The eunuchs are physically unable to have a child, but they are also an underprivileged class, having nationality of Israel. They have problem not in their blood, but in their body. They are the people of Israel, but are excluded because of their physical problem. Who are the eunuch today? Those who are infertile are not the only cases. If someone is isolated and hated based on physical and mental problem, he or she is no better than the eunuch. The eunuch of today have no problem outside, but are not treated the way they deserve. Those who suffer incurable disease, and those who have no money and have to let the disease get worse, even if there is a way to stay alive or stop the disease from getting worse. They could look healthy outside, but their soul is incurable. They were happy together with their family, but now are all alone due to a certain problem. If you're excluded from the community due to mental or physical problem, don't give up. There's a way to recover. God can do that. God says he will give gifts and names to the eunuch. How comforting this is, considering that God could give something better than his children. The following is the message of hope from God for foreigners among the two groups of those who were excluded by the mainstream at the time, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Foreigners live in the same place like Israelites, but have worries that they would be separate from the Israelites who are chosen by God. Who are the foreigners today? The underprivileged who live in the geographically same place but are excluded in the society. There are those who are isolated because they live in a different type of home in a different area. Those who wear different outfits. Those who have different types of cars. Those who own less. Those who didn't receive higher education. Those who have different jobs or title. those who have different gender, those who are discriminated by appearances, those from multicultural families, and those from single-parent families. Even if they suffer from the sense of isolation and have difficulties living in this world, God wants to stay with them and communicate with them through prayers. They might live in worries of being excluded or expelled, but God invites them to the holy mountain and pleases them by making them pray in God's house of prayer. This is not all, as testified in verse 8. The sovereign Lord declares, "He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered." Who are the exiles? The eunuch and foreigners. Who are the exiles of our society and community? Those who suffer disadvantages due to their position in the society and physical problem, and thus their basic rights are not protected. Why would they feel the sense of isolation? Feeling the sense of isolation means that they believe them to be expelled from the society and community because they fail to communicate with the members, even though they are also part of the nation, society, church, and home. Why do you feel the sense of isolation? Belong to the Lord. God calls the eunuch and foreigners of today. Respond to the calling of God and belong to God. In order to belong to God, it surely is necessary to respond to the calling, but two important things should first be executed. Interestingly, God gave these two also to those who are unrighteous. God told the eunuch and foreigners respectively in verse 4 and 6, first, keep the Sabbath, which is Sunday. The second is to hold God's words fast. In fact, they are not separate. Those who keep Sundays are those who stick to the Ten Commandments, the order of God, the words of God, and the covenant of God. As God is holy, if you obey the word of God on dates that God decided, you will not desecrate Sundays. If we keep Sundays, God who decided Sundays will protect us. Keeping Sundays will accomplish self-denial by killing sinful, selfish, and greedy self. To do so, Sundays should be lived differently compared to other days. To attend one-hour worship is not keeping Sundays. To keep Sundays is to keep oneself from worldly views and ask for the power of God while not acting evil. Moving ahead, Sunday should be extended. The mission and responsibility as Christians should be fulfilled by making worship a daily routine. This is how to obey the word of life. Today is the first Sunday of Advent to commemorate the birth of Jesus and long for the coming again. Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago to save the weak and underprivileged, where true justice is hardly seen, and even the basic rights are not protected from injustice. God still lives as the Spirit and wants to save the weak and underprivileged. God opened the way of salvation and showed what the righteousness is. Now let us keep Sundays through worship service. Hold fast to God, who is the word of everlasting life, so that we could receive better gift than children and enjoy the grace of communicating with God by praying in the house of prayer, the body of God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for accomplishing salvation and righteousness of God by sending Jesus to those vulnerable and underprivileged in this world where justice and the basic rights are not protected. We thank you for showing the righteousness of God, the perfect and absolute justice to those suffer damage due to selfish, relative, and limited justice, which changes based on time, place, and ideology. Let those who are unjust, who oppress the vulnerable, disappear, and keep them from doing evil when claiming justice. Help us remember not only those unjust, but the unique, isolated, should all keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and should not do anything evil, so that the righteousness of God, true justice, can be reinstated in this land. Help us be the tools in such effort. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.